It's not going to happen. Like, it's not going to happen. This is just the news, according to me. Yeah, I was going to have a live show this morning. I was really kind of looking forward to it, sort of. And, well, it just didn't happen. I don't know if you noticed or not, but it didn't happen. Just so you know. And I apologize for those of you who were really counting on a live broadcast this morning from the Appleton mobile studio here, which is just a laptop in my hotel room. I know that, you know, there's always that opportunity for you to absolutely get to see a cup with whatever I have in it. This morning I have a bottle of water. That's all I got. I was going to make some chai. Didn't get that done. Everything kind of got piled up on me here this morning. I had some projects I had to finish up, and just everything's getting behind right now at this point. So some of the things I wanted to get done are just not getting done. And I've got to be off to my other responsibilities in a couple of hours. And I have very little time to get my morning nap in. So I have to do that after I do this show here. But the biggest thing on my docket this morning I want to talk about, other than, you know, the oil embargo, you know, all the other stuff that's going on with the war, all that stuff that's happening. Indiana, by the way, is, I think there's another state as well. I've been paying attention to Indiana because it's Indiana. It's the most important state in the country, right, to me. They're working on a constitutional carry bill. Like I said, it has now passed the Senate, the way I understand it. This is the way I understand it. Maybe I'm wrong about this, but my understanding is it has passed the Senate. We know, I guess the word on the street is it's going to pass the House. The only problem is Governor Holcomb, who supposedly is a Republican, doesn't like it. You know why he doesn't like it? Because apparently he represents the state police more than he represents the people that voted him in. I've got some issues with this guy. He's been a wishy-washy governor, trying to play the fence here. And this is what he's doing right now, is he doesn't like it. And the reason that the state police don't like it is because they lose revenue. You shouldn't be making money on this extortion racket that we have going on. Think about this bill for a moment. This is what really aggravates me. These bills are called constitutional carry. I think there's 25 or 20. There's almost half the states now in the country that have constitutional carry, which means you have the right to bear arms. The right to keep means the right to own. It means you get to keep them. The right to bear means that you get to carry them. There's nothing, and any infringement upon that is not allowed. In other words, it just very clearly says, shall not be infringed, period. Shall not be infringed, with the exceptions of, you can't carry concealed. You can't carry, you know, certain types of weapons. You can't carry a certain number of bullets. There's no infringement. It's shall not be infringed, period. So, let me just be really clear about that. I know I'm going to make some, whether or not you agree with it or not, or whether or not you want to carry one or not, it's up to you. But the fact remains, that's what's in the Constitution. You want to change it? Change the Constitution. Give that a try. See how that works out in this country. I think you can tell where I would stand on this issue. Maybe you can't. I think my listeners are a little smarter than that. They can read me a little bit better than that. The problem that I have with this whole issue, I'm going to call Governor Holcomb today. This thing is supposedly going to pass the House. Now, I guess there's a way they can get around a veto by the governor. Now, he would have his cake and eat it too if he would be allowed to veto it and then have the veto overridden. He would feel like a hero because now I've supported the police, but we still got the bill passed. Well, no, sir. Your honor, whatever they call you, your gubernatorial-ish, stip, ship, whatever. We'll remember this when the voting comes. At least I will. And there may not be many options, but I'm going to let the Republican Party know that they better be putting somebody else up in the position or allowing somebody to primary this guy. Think about this for a moment. The whole premise of a constitutional carry license or bill. What they're saying is, what they're doing is unconstitutional, and we're going to make it constitutional by, oh, we're going to go ahead and agree with the Constitution now. We're going to give the people their rights back. Because that's what a permit does. And I know a lot of you think, well, you shouldn't just let anybody have a gun. Well, no, you shouldn't just let anybody have a gun. However, I'm sorry. Even Sean Hannity, I disagree with him on this issue. Well, I think of a gun owner's response. Of course, he went out and got himself trained to carry a gun. And so he thinks everybody should have training to carry a gun. Because he got training to carry a gun. Well, I'm sorry, but I don't have to have a certified individual train me how to operate a gun. My father, my brother, my uncle, my friends can teach me how to operate a gun, and there doesn't need to be any certificate, because that's an infringement, Sean. Because you're saying that you shouldn't be allowed to have one unless you have training. Now you've infringed. And that's what this whole permit thing is, the whole concealed carry permit. Most states will say, oh, you can open carry all you want, but then if you open carry, the police pull you over, and if you're walking down the street, they pull you over. They walk up beside you, put their little light on their hat, pull you over. They treat you like a criminal, check your gun. Some people think that if you're just wearing a gun, that's brandishing a firearm. That's not brandishing. Brandishing is when you wave it around indiscriminately around people. That's brandishing. Having one securely on your in your holster is not brandishing. If that's the case, then every police out there, every officer out there who carries a gun is brandishing their firearm. That's not what that is. It's because we've lost all sense of understanding what the English language means these days. We just redefine words as we feel fit. This whole idea, Governor Holcomb, if you're listening, which I'm sure you're probably not. Well, you might. Maybe you'll end up getting it. Maybe somebody will pass this along to you. This idea that you're going to take away my right to carry, my right to bear arms, you're going to take that away from me and then sell it back to me in the form of a permit. That's immoral. Are you going to take my life away from me and then sell it back to me in the right of a permit? Well, we're going to put everybody in jail, and what you have to do is you have to file for a permit and pay a little tax thing here, and we're going to it's just a processing fee. Apparently, they make money on this processing fee because they're all afraid about the revenue they're going to make. This processing fee to give you a permit so that you can go out and live your life. Because, you know, we can't just have everybody out there just living the way they want to. There's a lot of lies being thrown around about this whole constitutional carry thing, or the shall issue or may issue type laws. Some states have a shall issue or may issue. In other words, shall issue means that if you apply for a permit to carry concealed, they have to give it to you unless they do a background check and they make sure that you're not a felon or, you know, that whatever the rules are for not having one. And then then they give you a permit. That's a shall issue. In other words, they're mandated to issue you the permit if you request one. There's a may issue. That, in other words, they will decide whether or not you get a permit. You have to have a reason, too. You can say, well, I'm a business owner. I'm in a particular part of town. I have a particular type of business where I carry jewelry, or I carry, you know, precious things, or I handle a lot of money, whatever it is. I need to have a gun. Then they'll say, okay, we'll give you a little, let you have a gun. Now, they'll say that, well, this only pertains to if you're on your own property. No, that's not what the Constitution says. Because there's another little part in the Constitution that says you have the right to peaceable travel. on what's called an easement. Property lines, you can walk down a property line from one property to the next. And what has happened now is the government has taken over certain easements. Like when you own a property, you own it to the center of the street. However, the government has an easement where they can come in and put a road there, and then they will obfuscate, whatever it is. They can control certain amount from that line to put in their road. In fact, if your house is a little too close to that line and they decide to widen the road, guess what? Your house has to go away. They have to buy your house for you at a fair market value for eminent domain. That's what eminent domain is. Now, in some places, the governments, especially city governments, have decided that eminent domain means we're going to come in and we're going to level all these houses. We're going to go ahead and sell it off to developers. That's eminent domain. That's not eminent domain. That's a dictatorship business deal. There's money under the table, I guarantee you, happening in those kinds of situations. There's payola somewhere going somewhere from these developers when that happens. So in this situation, we have a government that comes in and decides, well, we're not going to let you carry concealed unless you have a permit. We'll sell you that permit. We'll sell you your rights back to you for a small fee. Now, the state of Indiana had two different options for this recently. We had a regular carry permit, I think it was 5 years. You apply for the permit, you get it for 5 years, and you got to go back and get another one. I think it wasn't very much. It was $50 or whatever it was. Maybe it was $20. I don't know what it was. Supposedly just a processing fee. And then they came out with this lifetime permit. Now, they've done this in the past. They had a lifetime permit, I think twice now, two or three times. The third one, I've got a lifetime permit right now in the state of Indiana to conceal carry. Now, that permit, the reason I have one is because when I go to other states, there is reciprocal agreements. Now, I don't know how this works if you go to another state that has a constitutional carry in place. My understanding is if that state has constitutional carry, regardless of whether you have a permit or not, as long as you are a U.S. citizen, you are allowed. I don't think you have to be a citizen of the state. I'm not positive on that because I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a gun rights expert. I'm not an epidemiologist or a virologist. I'm not a school teacher. I'm not a hat maker. I'm not a financial advisor. I'm just a guy with a microphone that has a lot of opinions, and I like to share them. And you're welcome to do whatever you want to with my opinions, but that's on you. That's all I'm saying. So what is happening here is there's, of course, all kinds of people, all kinds of opponents to this bill coming out. Well, with statistics, I've heard this. I was listening to a Second Amendment paper. There's a YouTube channel I listen to. Let's see if I can find the channel here real quick just so you know what I was talking about. Here we go, subscriptions. Let's see if he's on here. I think it's probably been so long since I listened to this morning, but this guy does a pretty good job. He likes to talk about what's going on legally in the legal world with gun rights. I don't see him on here. I think I missed it, and I just happened to catch the... Yeah, it wasn't today that this came out. I think this was yesterday. Yeah, it was yesterday. It was a yesterday video because... my understanding was he was talking about it, looks like it's going to pass, and I think that was yesterday that they actually voted on it, and it did pass in the Senate, the Indiana State Senate. Today, I believe it will go to the House, or it's going to move on to the House, and the House is expected to pass it. I think if they have a certain amount of majority in the House, my understanding is that they can override a veto from the governor. Now, I will be calling the governor and giving him my opinion on this, and I'm sure he'll want to know what's in my cup, so I have to have that information available for him right off the bat. But yeah, I don't see the guy's. I wish I had the guy's channel. It's a good channel. He does a good job. Maybe it's here. We'll see what it's here. No, it's not here. Oh yeah, we've got a. This is interesting. The F-15EX. I don't know if you've heard of this or not. This is an interesting fighter plane that I think we have. Now, you know, when they start retiring these old airplanes, you can pretty much bet that we probably have something else that's even better. That's why they're retiring it. This was the whole thing when we had the SR-72 or whatever it was. SR, whatever it was. Some of those kinds of the stealth fighter. That was another one that they, of course, denied that we had it for a long time. People said that we had it. And I'm seeing some interesting things here in the realm of the. Yeah, I'm going to save that to watch later. I got to watch that one later. There's a lot of interesting things. But anyway, this guy was talking about the state of Indiana issue. Somehow they can override the governor's veto. I'm not sure how that is. I'm going to try to find out how that works. But in the meantime, I'm letting the governor know. I'm going to send him an email and give him a phone call and let him know that, hey, it's constitutional carry because it's constitutional that I get to carry. Not what you're doing right now is unconstitutional, and we need to make it right. And you don't represent the state police, you represent the people of the country, of the state, not the state police. My understanding is that's why he wants to veto it, is because the state police don't want it. Well, too bad for the state police. There's probably a lot of things that they would like to be able to do. I fully support them, but I also know that they want to do their job, and sometimes doing their job oversteps someone's rights. Not a good idea. But there's this idea out there, and there's actually some of these reporters out there now. So just, of course, 87.4%. This is a known fact. 87.4% of all statistics are made up on the spot. Just saying. On this show, it's more like 100%, just so you know. But in general, most people just make them up on the spot. This guy, so do the math on that, figure out what I'm talking about there. One reporter I was listening to was talking about this, and he was saying, yes, it's a known, studies have shown, research has shown, and I don't even think he said studies, I think he said research has shown that crime rates go up, gun crime goes up when you issue shall carry and may carry permits in states. This perked my ear up because I'm not aware of this. It's the opposite. It has always been the opposite. So I looked into it a little bit. There's not one single study that shows this. I can't find anything. You'd think this would be all over the news. So this guy's just making this stuff up. Now, it's always been the opposite. Florida had an incredible crime problem at one point. They basically were giving people permits in the mail. And guess what? Crime rate dropped like a rock. Like a rock went down. It has always been that way. Now, the problem is we had, and we, like this, the one, then the big argument, here's the big argument that you always hear. And this I think this reporter even said something about it. Police show up on the scene. They don't know who the good guy is and who the bad guy is because if a citizen who has taken the law into their own hands, no, they're taking their life in their own hands by taking back their right to protect themselves. So they pull out their gun to protect themselves or to stop a particular situation. And the problem that they have with it is, well, the police show up on the scene. They don't know who's the good guy and who's the bad guy. I guess recently, this has been within the last year, somebody was killed in a mall, I believe it was, who happened to be an armed citizen who had shot the perpetrator. And then the police showed up and shot him. And he actually died. Now, let me be very clear about this. If there is a hunyak, wild, crazy gunman in a mall or in a big box store, whatever's going on, and I stop him from shooting who knows how many people he's going to shoot. And in the process, I die trying, whether that's friendly fire or his fire. But if I stop the guy, guess what? Good. Then my life was well spent. That's the way I feel about it, and I've taken that responsibility and that outcome into my own hands. I will take full responsibility for that as a gun owner. That's the risk I'm willing to take. Period. A criminal takes that responsibility into his own hands as well when he picks up a gun and threatens somebody with it. Guess what? You've given up your right because you're willing to take someone else's right away. When you decide to break into someone's home, you've given up certain rights of your own. That was a decision that you consciously made, regardless of your situation that you're in. I don't care how desperate you are. There are ways you can live without breaking into someone's home, without threatening them, without raping and pillaging. You've made that decision to do that. And that's, you know, you're going to face the consequences of that, whatever that might be, whether it's the legal system or a person who wants to defend themselves from that. I've made the decision to carry. I take the responsibility of that. If I pull the gun out to use it, I know full well I know the intentions of what I'm pulling it out for, but I also know what can happen to me if I am irresponsible with that, or if someone else happens to misunderstand what my, you know, my position on that. That officer who shot that individual will have to deal with that. When he pulled his gun out, he knew his responsibility. Now, tell me, do you think that that gun owner, that person who had the gun, who got shot by police, do you think he was a threat to the police? Probably not. I've seen some very gun-happy, trigger-happy police. If there is even a mention of a gun, bullets start flying. I've seen this on video. I've seen it happen many times where it's been caught on police cameras. There's a gun laying in a seat in a holster. An officer will scream, "Gun!" That's when you say that, it should be when the gun is in the person's hand and it's being intended to be used. Because now all the police... There was a case where this happened. I don't know if it's been put out there very well or not, but... There was a case where this happened. A person had a gun. They had lifted up their shirt. They were standing there complying with what the police were saying. He lifted up his shirt. An officer said, screamed, yelled, "Gun." I believe he was in his car at the time. The officer saw the gun, yelled, "Gun." All the officers around the car started unloading into the car. And I don't mean they unloaded their guns. I mean they discharged their weapons into the car. The guy was shot like 19 times. Now, they had pulled him over because he was causing problems on the road, but he was not a threat at that moment. His car was shut off. They'll always give you that excuse that, well, he was using his car as a weapon. They'll also give you the excuse of, well, he had a gun. Was he threatening you with the gun? Did you really? So they're supposed to abide by this idea that if their life is threatened, they have to know that their life has to be threatened, or the life of someone else has to be threatened before they use their weapon. You can't just use force, which is one of the problems with this non-lethal stuff. They like to use that to get compliance. Non-lethal should not be used for compliance even. I used to teach police officers stuff back in the 90s. Actually, back in the 80s. I guess it was back in the 80s, early 80s. And the big deal was what they were very concerned about how much force they used against a perpetrator. It was a big deal. And because I used to teach the PR-24. I used to teach a lot of things about, you know, baton use, that kind of thing. They used to carry batons. Yeah. And they would need to know how to use them in a non-lethal manner to protect themselves and others, and as actually the individual that they were trying to arrest or trying to detain. And it was very clear that you didn't just, if the officer asks you to do something, if you don't do it, that you have the right to smack him in the leg. Now we just shoot him with a taser. Tell them to comply. Get them on the... Yeah, I don't know what's going on with that. I don't know if you noticed a difference in my sound quality here. For some reason, something kind of weird has happened. I'm not sure what's going on. My sound quality seems to have changed all at once. I'm not sure what happened there. I don't know if my microphone reset or something. I don't know what happened there. Anyway, I'm using my better microphone right now. I'm still using my laptop, and I'm using actually a condenser mic. Once in a while, something weird happens with it. I'm just not sure what happens there. I'm not sure why it does it. Anyway, now they use these tasers. They use non-lethal to get someone to comply, to control someone, which is also not necessarily something we used to teach to train officers, but now that's a big thing now. It's a big deal. And I don't know, I don't understand where the differences happened or why it changed. But there's definitely something different with my sound here. I'm not sure exactly what happened to it. Something odd there. Anyway, I think I'll just... I hear my music. How fortuitous. I hear my bumper music coming in right now. So the show is basically about 30 minutes long. I guess that's long enough to listen to me rant. So if you live in Indiana, call the governor. If you don't live in Indiana, go ahead and call the governor. Let him know what you think about this constitutional thing. Constitutional carry thing. Because it's just all wrong. Once again, folks, thanks for listening. Thanks for stopping by. I'll try to have a live show tonight. In the meantime, God bless. Have a great day. It's Wednesday. March 9th, 2022.